Two of Nokia World, and your All About Insight podcast is here yet again for another special. Here in person as we finish up our breakfast and look over to the lights of the sun glancing over its delightful rays in the London Excel Centre, we have Rafe Blandford.
Hello, everybody.
David Gilson.
Hello, everyone.
Steve Litchfield.
Just finishing my breakfast.
And as always, I am Ewan Spence. And did you know yesterday wasn't a momentous Insight podcast?
Yes, I did.
Do you know why?
Because it was number 253?
No. Stephen?
Because it included the letters Z, Q and Y?
No. David?
I'm not even going to try.
I didn't mention Hull once.
Oh, well, that's not unprecedented.
But we have more important matches to go for, and that is, of course, Nokia, being Nokia World, and their Windows Phone, two handsets delivered. We all said beforehand, right, and you mentioned this briefly yesterday, that if they had got one out on limited release by Christmas, they would be doing really well. They beat that by 2 months with two handsets.
That's right. You know, we got the 800 and the 710, but I will say I don't think devices on their own are enough.
Why is that?
Because it's actually about the complete experience or the differentiation, or the way that Nokia explained it, it's the Nokia Windows Phone experience.
Yes, which is going to be the first real Windows Phone.
That's right. I mean, Stephen Enoch made,
say it is.
Stephen Enoch made a kind of bit of a play of that. And I can see what he means, but there, I think, was a little bit of marketing speak
yes,
in there.
There's going to be a couple of raised eyebrows there from HTC and Samsung and LG.
Well, you know, we're one big happy Windows family. And
that means we tear strips out of each other, don't talk to someone for, and there's an ostracised guy over in Australia.
That's right. But, you know, actually, this differentiation thing, joking aside, is absolutely vital because, you know, this is what makes the phones. And it's, in one sense, it is standing out from the standard Windows Phone stuff, but it's also standing out, of course, from the myriad Android devices out there and anything else, and of course iOS as well. And there are several things we should talk about in this area.
Now, there are some changes between the 800 and the 710 in hardware and on other devices as well, but it's always been noticeable that Microsoft have been very restrictive on the hardware requirements of these phones, but Nokia have got a little bit of wiggle room, and have actually in hardware done some differentiation there, haven't they, Rafe?
They have, and I think this is really important to talk about. We said very early on that the Nokia hardware would be one of the things they brought to the table, and I think the design in particular of the Nokia 800 demonstrates that, the kind of Gorilla Glass on the front, the curve, the way it kind of melts into each other, almost a seamless bezel, and then the polycarbonate unibody case. I mean, it's without actually seeing it, it's really quite hard to get across just how special that design is. I mean, people have, you know, praised the N9 for the same design. You're getting the same thing with the 800. And it really is, you know, when you hold it in your hand, it's a very caressable device, I guess.
You struggled for the word there, didn't you?
I didn't. We want to keep this clean, of course. But there is something really nice. You can just sit there and
It's incredibly tactile and with a delightful fusion of touch and delicacy and strength and hardness.
Yeah, it's like my cat. It's pretty and you want to stroke it.
And it has a claws and it can really be a monster when it wants to.
Well, it can be awesome.
Hey, there we go.
But you know, seriously, that design is something special. And I think people need to hold it in their hand to feel it. And the materials are great. And the other big thing about this, and I know Steve will go to town on this in due course when we get our hands on it, is the camera. You know, it's Carl Zeiss optics again. It's f2.2 aperture, one of the biggest you can get on a mobile device. I mean, it's the same module, obviously, as the N9. It's the super wide angle lens in this Carl Zeiss optic. All very nice. And certainly the evidence we've seen is it produces superior photos. So that 800, from a hardware point of view, it stands out. Yes, the internal guts are kind of standard Windows Phone, and obviously Compal have been involved there. And it is fair to say there are kind of missing bits from what we've been used to from a Symbian user's point of view. You know, there isn't Pentaband 3G, for example, or no FM transmitter. But I think that's, you know, I hesitate to say cut corners because it's not really the right phrasing, but those missing elements, if you like, are the price you pay for getting the device out in 8 months. There was no other way to do it. And the fact they've, you know, taken something like the N9, yes, it's the same design, but you have to appreciate it's completely different internals. And the engineering achievement of getting that done in such a short space of time, redesigning the internal, For those that don't understand the way phones are put together, that's really quite amazing. I mean, it really is an achievement. And I know, David, you spent a bit of time with it on the show floor.
I definitely am feeling the desire.
Not the HTC desire,
but actually, it really actually took me by surprise when I saw it, because I was expecting it to be larger than it was. I know it has only got a 3.7-inch screen, but all the photos that I've been seeing of, like, the N9 before it and the Lumia today and yesterday, I thought it was going to be larger in the hand, and I also thought it was going to have a bit more of a rougher feel to it, but no, the polycarbonate is very smooth, and it's a lot smaller, and it's actually, for me, personally, subjectively, the perfect size, because once the phones get up to 4-inch screens, that's uncomfortable for me, and it's a big screen to track the eyes around, but that 3.5, 3.7 is the perfect size, so it is something I'm really looking forward to spending a lot more time with.
And there's some clever design tricks in order to make it feel smaller. It's kind of the rounded edges, and as you say, that polycarbonate feels almost like the best of both worlds in terms of the aluminium, the kind of the solidity of that, along with the warmth of plastics when it sits comfortably in your hand. And each end of the device is actually slightly tapered, so it makes the device feel smaller and thinner than it actually is in reality. And make no mistake, it's actually still quite a thin device. And 148 grams or so. It is on the heavy side, but I did think it was excessively so. It actually feels reassuring. And, you know, and as a Nokia device, the build quality, you know, outstanding again, and particularly the way the kind of curved glass just almost floats on the top and fits into that, you know, yeah. Nokia called it extreme design innovation, but actually it is pretty special.
Yeah, it's all about design compromise, mind you. Milling the device from a single piece of polycarbonate does make it incredibly strong, and I suspect this will be one of the more robust smartphones we've seen. Of course, it does have, as I mentioned yesterday, the integral battery. You can't swap the battery out, so pros and cons. But overall, yes, a big positive from me, despite the laughs from the rest of the team.
And then there's the 710, which does have a replaceable battery, but it has more than that single bullet point, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, we talked about the pricing of it, but actually for a device that's, you know, relatively cheap, the screen in particular, I think, stood out for me. But also, you know, you've got the physical buttons on the Windows Phone device, which I know a lot of people, you know, look for. And actually, it's, you know, pretty thin for a device in that kind of class. And, you know, actually, I was quite impressed by it, more so than I thought I would be for, you know, the price it's coming in at. And of course, all the design plaudits go to the 800. But let's not forget the 710 as well. That's a pretty attractive device as well.
It's like the C601. When, you know, for me, as people on the Orbit Symbian side will know things, the C601 for me was just a lovely little small device. It was quite small. It wasn't for everybody, but it was just sexy and worked.
I'm not sure I quite call the 710 sexy.
But not the C601.
Oh, the C601. But the 710, you know...
What do you take me for, an Englishman?
It does feel like it's been sort of designed around, you know, that kind of mid-tier user. I mean, little things like the replaceable batteries coming in multiple colours, which will be available as aftermarket accessories, just gives it that bit of personality that actually I think has been missing from some of the other Windows Phone device, and the only one that really gets close to it for me is the HTC Radar. And, you know, so it kind of breaks new ground for Windows Phone, both in the pricing point but also just in that design quality. It's very hard to express in audio, but take a look at some of the pictures and hopefully you'll see what I mean.
Hold on, let me give it a go.
And I know David looked at this one as well. So David, what was your take?
Was it an ooh or an ah?
It was an ooh.
See, I got the description right, you see? Yeah.
I think the 710 is going to be more popular than we think, because I think a lot of people, both on Android and on Windows Phone, complain about the capacitive buttons. So this one has got hardware buttons. Personally, I prefer the capacitive buttons, but I think a lot of people will like it. And it doesn't have an EDOF camera. It has an autofocus camera, so that will appease a lot of people.
Oh, I've got to get me one of these just to see Steve's reaction.
Yeah, and I think having the coloured backs that you can change, that's kind of Nokia going back to its roots. I mean, remember Express on covers?
Yeah, and the aftermarket for the original N-Gage for the different colours for the whole fascias around there as well, and the delightful success of the pink 6210 and the 702 when they came out back in the 90s. Yes, It's finding mojo again.
And just to sort of say again on the price, you know, this is a big difference. We're talking 270 versus 420. So we're talking about, you know, getting on for €150 price difference. And for what's, you know, that amount of cut in price, it doesn't feel that sort of inferior. Yes, the plastic materials are clearly cheaper and a lot of that versus the polycarbonate. But other than that, I don't think there's been that many sacrifices in it.
Yeah, and when you think about the prices, I mean, I think we heard yesterday that Vodafone are going to carry the 800. You can get it for free by paying £31 a month. However, I mean, if you want to get an unlocked version, just think what these two phones are going to be priced at a year on eBay even. These are going to be very affordable devices.
Well, given Nokia's promise of more rapid turnaround of devices and device launches, we might be seeing that turnaround in about 6 months' time. Mm. You know, and at that point, you know, that's still, you know, the early months of the summer. You know, Nokia will probably be quite happy with a massive ramp up there.
So I think what we can conclude from here is that actually Nokia have done a pretty special job on the hardware side of things. It is early days. Very early days.
But and they have used a fair number of off-the-shelf components, even if it's their own personal shelf.
Yes, it very much so in the internals. It's, I mean, that's part of the implications of the Windows Phone chassis specifications. Nonetheless, in the design side of things, they've done some quite special things. And again, it's a kind of it's the eight-month timeline. Actually, what comes next? You know, I'm sure Steve will be salivating at the kind of the 12-megapixel super camera that, you know, in due course will come in time. So actually, you know, in the context of the timeline, actually, the hardware, I think, deserves quite a big thumbs up.
Yeah, and the other thing that deserves a thumbs up is Nokia have done a differentiation where they had more flexibility, and that's in the software side of things. We saw three apps highlighted yesterday. That's Drive, Music, and ESPN, which I'm going to probably have to cover as the one with the most amount of sports knowledge.
But what we should just set this in its context. Bear in mind that with the timeline, Nokia really had no input on Mango. So these are kind of apps being added in. And again, you know, we're talking about a short timeline. Again, you know, eight months.
And these aren't simple applications, as we're going to see. These are in-depth. These are connected. These are shareable, online, and all the features that have been taken advantage of.
And that's right. And we should say from the very off, you know, this is Nokia making quite clear it's the first step. And these applications are going to be iterated. So they will develop over time. But let's get into the details. I mean, I haven't actually looked in much detail at the Drive application, but I know a man who has.
Hands up who has, because I don't. Steve has put his hand up. There we go. Lovely.
Yes.
It's far easier than not doing this on Skype.
We did learn back at the start of the year that Nokia Maps would be coming to Windows Phone as part of this deal. I don't think we've seen what it'll actually end up as yet. What we're seeing is version one. What they've done is they've replaced the sort of Bing Maps that come in the standard Windows Phone Mango by their own Nokia Maps underlying database and expertise. The Nokia Drive, as they're calling it, is not the Windows Phone version of Nokia Maps as we used to on Symbian. It's a complete rewrite using Microsoft's own development tools. And it's effectively, you think of it as a simplified version of Nokia Maps navigation, designed and very much optimized for car navigation. So it's a kind of replaces the TomTom, and you can use your Windows Phone in landscape mode as a sort of an in-car sat-nav, and it works very well in that regard. The interface is very much simplified. If you're in Nokia Maps and Symbian, we're used to, you know, weather and Kype and all sorts of optional add-ons, pedestrian navigation, you name it, it's there in there somewhere in one of the betas or one of the release versions. And this is very much cut down. You have it, you open up to see a 3D map, you then tap on the little more icon, and you send yes, I want to drive to, and you pick a destination, and you're off. And that's it. That's all the functionality in this version one. But we do expect it to significantly develop in as time goes on.
I think there's one big function we should mention as a big deal, and that's the fact it will do maps. You can preload them, you can download them on the phone rather than having it over the air. And for Windows Phone users who've been used to over the air Bing Maps, that's a big deal and a nice bit of Nokia customization. But it is just the first version. I will just make it clear here. People have sort of said, how's Nokia Maps working? Isn't Nokia Maps going to be available for all the Windows Phone devices? Just a bit of clarity on that. Nokia are going to be doing their own customized application, but it doesn't mean there won't be platform contributions. Of course, at this point, there are no platform contributions because Mango was already done, but I asked them about it, and Maps is one area where it will come in. But that's not in terms of the Nokia Maps as an application. It's in terms of Nokia Maps as an underlying service. So in time, we'll see Nokia Maps, or effectively Navtech, replace the Bing Maps. And so if you're wondering, can I get Nokia Drive on my Samsung Windows phone device or my HTC Windows phone device? The answer is no, and it's not likely to change.
Well, at least not officially.
Not officially and not immediately. And so that is going to be one of the very big Nokia Windows phone experience differentiations, customizations. And, and for me, actually, I think that's a pretty big one, because that PND replacement is a big deal in the smartphone world, and it is all free, of course.
Yeah, we should mention, we were seeing several demos of this Nokia Drive today, and I did notice that the Bing maps are there in some of the applications, as well as the Nokia underlying maps for Nokia Drive. So at the moment, the Nokia Windows Phone devices have both mapping APIs, if you like, both mapping databases actually in place, but I suspect in time the Nokia ones will use just the Nokia Maps databases.
That's right, Steve. I mean, that reflects that the underlying kind of mapping platform for Windows Phone as a whole is still Bing Maps, but yes, absolutely, in the future it's quite clear that's going to be kind of replaced. And that is what Stephen Elop and Nokia meant when they said Nokia assets would be contributed to the platform as a whole, not the individual applications.
There is obviously a longer term strategic question, which we're not going to address in this podcast, of whether Microsoft as a whole will use Nokia and Navtech to power Bing Maps, maybe when the licensing runs out on the Bing Smart stuff. But again, the question's far, far down the line, even though Rafe is ready to answer now.
I should actually just say, Bing Maps already uses Navtech data, and actually there was an update to Bing Maps a couple of weeks ago on Windows Phone, and that's partly a result of this Nokia agreement. And so you're still going to see the same data sets, the same maps, but there will be, a subtle changing of the naming conventions. And for developers, it will be completely seamless, and as well as for users. But that's kind of going to be Nokia's big contribution to the Windows Phone as a platform, at least in the kind of next couple of versions. It's not clear when it will come in, but it will happen.
All right, then. The other differentiation, we've got two left, so let's take music now. Nokia, I've got to say, you know, Nokia's music store is still incredibly popular, is still one of the largest music stores that are out there on a mobile device. And it's, let me address the question first for everybody, because I spotted this in some of the comments of, well, there's Zune Music in Windows Phone, and now we've got Nokia Music. Well, what's happened here? Well, as we said with the UI, Zune Music is there as an application, and Nokia Music is there as an application, and when it needs to go between the two of them, it just goes between the two of them. So they're both there. You're still all talking to the same music that you have on your device. But the Nokia Music on Windows Phone is more concentrated on getting music from the cloud. It's about changing the way that the music experience goes through with the client that they call Mix Radio.
Yeah, I was quite impressed by this. We have seen all sorts of streaming music services on various platforms, and I've never really ever felt the need to take the plunge. Usually they involve some sort of subscription and messing around, or digital rights management, or you have to do everything online. But here we have a completely free streaming music service, organized neatly by genre, all totally for free, forever, and you can even download the playlist and play the music back when you're offline. I mean, it's a stunning system. I presume that the underlying costs are all subsidised by Nokia, every time you buy a phone of theirs, that part of that money, a few pounds of that, a few euros of that, is going to help pay for the royalties for paying the artists.
Now, of course, Nokia have experience in this when they've had their Comes With Music project, and I know from experience that streaming music fees will probably be a lot lower than downloading. And although you can't download for free the individual tracks that come with these mixes, you can download the entire mix for offline listening. Now, I suspect that will not let you jump to an individual track. I think you're allowed to skip up to three head in an hour or something, but so it's still treated as a radio license. But that's just stunning. And then what's interesting for me about Nokia Music is it's not a complete application yet. Out of the box, you have Mix Radio. And there will be an update before Christmas which will have Mix Radio, which you can seed with your own music. You choose like maybe five or six tracks from your own collection, and it will go and create a personalised mix for you. Gigfinder's going in there as well, in that update as well, just before Christmas.
And also the offline stuff isn't actually in the initial sales release, but I'm told it will arrive in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, it should also be noted, and I forgot what I was going to say.
Yes, it should also be noted. There we go. You keep thinking on that one, Steve, and I'll turn to Dave because I know he had a question as well.
Yeah, I think people who've used Last.fm will find this very familiar. Last.fm, you scrabble your tracks so it learns what you listen to, and it will play you similar things if you listen to the right station. However, you can listen for free, but you pretty much, to get anything out of it, you do have to pay a subscription, which works out to be about £3 a month. And I think going on, it would be interesting to make a comparison between the two services, because obviously Nokia Music, it's at the right price.
I mean, obviously we're going to have to try this out, but the initial way it presented actually struck a chord, and you know, that was a common thing when chatting to people. People were quite interested. And, yes, it's Last FM. There's a comparison to Spotify in a sense as well. But it isn't Spotify. You know, it is sort of radio station streaming. And it's an important distinction to make. But as Steve said, it is free. And so it's the kind of experience you can instantly get it when you get your phone out of the box. And I think that's the difference. You know, we're talking about the Nokia differentiation, their experience. And they're creating this extra music experience that's ready to go out of the box, and I think that's the key message.
Yeah, and it's not just the fact that, you know, the commercial interest and the fact that it's free, it's the fact that there's not even a sign-in involved. Most of these other services, you just have to create an account and log in and password and all that messing around. This just works out of the box.
And that, now, to be fair there, Steve, the chances are there is a sign-in. It's probably using your Windows Live account, but because that's tied to the handset, it's invisible to the user at the point of usage, which in essence is the same thing. Yes, the power users are going to know, oh, you're using my Windows Live ID, blah, 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 and Zoom Pass and so on, but to everybody else, it's a no sign-in, no registration option. And I think that's the key thing. The other thing, of course, is you would be a fool and a communist to think that these pre-rolled mixes are in any way influenced by what the music companies would like to promote and get in the charts. That will never, ever have crossed the minds of the guys licensing the music to Nokia and Microsoft.
Yeah, and given that Nokia are basically footing the bill for all of this...
we assume.
Well, someone is, and because we aren't. Who is... Who are we probably going to get to listen to? I mean,
Bruno Mars. Oh no, it's going to be Bruno. Thanks, David.
No, it's going to be the Nokia House Band.
No, they're quite nice. As long as you know, they've got that Italian DJ who did the remix of the drubbing bass or something.
I don't know, sometimes when they play Lordi, I have my doubts.
Now, Lordi are from the north of Finland, north of the Arctic Circle. We're probably talking more about the Tampere guys, and we don't want that. You're probably thinking of steel-reinforced concrete, which in Finnish is called terasbetoni. They're much better and slightly southerner, more Finnish. Yeah, shall we move on, shall we?
Absolutely.
Right, okay, let's do sport.
Yes, ESPN Sport, this is a kind of one of the kind of sign of something that's going to come. It's an application that is... unique to Nokia, or rather, it's been licensed such that it'll only be on Nokia handsets.
For Windows Mobile, but so for Windows Phone.
For Windows Phone, it is available on things like the iPhone and indeed elsewhere. But this idea of exclusive applications is something that Nokia is going to explore. And I mean exclusive applications from third parties in order to add to this Nokia Windows Phone experience.
Oh, we've got so many of these new terms tonight. I'm never going to get all of these right. Now, the great thing about the ESPN application, I've had a very brief play on it, is the fact that it covers lots of sports. Yes, being American, they call it EPL for the English Premier League and not football, because football is reserved for rugby with padding, and that doesn't count, guys.
Rugby for girls.
Rugby for... Well, no. Have you seen girls play rugby?
That's true, yeah. No, actually, it's rugby for...
New Zealand would take a look at the British second 11 girls team and just go... British Lions girls. No, we're not doing that. But the fact is, it covers so many sports, and each one of those sports can be taken as a live tile. You can go into those sport and choose your favourite team and make them a live tile. It wasn't clear whether you could go into individual players in certain sports and pick them in a live tile, but certainly for something like MLB, it's very likely that you'd be able to get Buster Posey's latest injury condition to his chest as a live tile as well.
Yeah, no, you can do that. And, you know, there's a comprehensive range of content. ESPN, I think, is particularly important for the States. You know, where we haven't seen Nokia being very strong.
Everybody in the States will know who Buster Posey is, Rafe.
Excellent. The one thing I would say, I won't get too excited about just one application. I think it's a nice thing to have. It'll be interesting to see what other exclusive applications they can bring into the Nokia Windows Phone experience. It did feel a little bit like Nokia going, we need to have more things to sort of be custom differentiated to us.
But at the same time, it does show off the personalization that Nokia's done, but it also shows off the personalization that a user can do. I mean, it's very easy to have, like, we had Fulham and Clint Dempsey come up for that. It'd be very easy to do an American football tile or a motor racing tile on your own start screen.
Yeah, that's what I liked about this, actually, was it showed off really nicely something we talked about in the previous podcast, the internal linking to an application, and that kind of Mango special sauce, if you will, for applications that really adds, you know, a level of personalization that actually you don't really see anywhere else, because it's diving right down deep into the application without you being terribly aware of that's what's going on. So effectively, any sports team in any of the big leagues anywhere in the world, you'll be able to have a personal tile that drops you straight into the news and scores and updates about that team. So in one sense, this is actually, you know, quite a big deal. It's not just a generic sports application. It's a sports application that you can get all your sports news on, but you can then personalise to your particular clubs. And you know, that sense of almost a personal connection, the emotion.
It's my application.
It is. And that sport is one of those really big, obvious elements. And none of us are particularly big sporting enthusiasts. But for some people, that, you
Stick
know,
for it, yourself, go Rangers.
It's
Texas Rangers.
It's kind of the equivalent of the weather or the news application. It's basic stuff that people really want on there and can actually be why they buy a phone.
Yeah, and I think this sense of ownership of things is inherent with Metro UI, because we were just talking about Nokia Music, and you can do the same thing there. You can pin a playlist onto the home screen as a tile, or just to be kind of Mr. Curmudgeon for a minute, and because I'm not particularly into sports, you see, it did seem like the weak card of the suit this morning, because the other two were things that only really Nokia could have done, because Nokia have the music contacts, because they have the music store on Symbian, and they have the Navtech data, but really anyone could have made a deal for a sports news application.
But I think the key point there is that it was Nokia that made the deal, and it's Nokia. They're coming to the table and go, look, we have this new story to tell. We are talk all about experiences and personality and doing it right, and you know we're Nokia, you know. And they've went and they've got the deal with ESPN.
Yeah, but I think it could have just been any. It just looked like any third-party application. I mean, I haven't looked, but I'm sure there are sports news applications on there already.
Yeah, it's also a great example, actually, of the Windows Phone UI in use. I mean, if you think back to other mobile platforms and how you'd actually implement something that was wide-ranging with multiple sports and implementing your own team and following them and looking at different views of the same data from different perspectives. I mean, it just blows your mind actually how much lateral thinking has gone into this Metro UI. And I know I sound like a rabid Windows Phone fanboy, but it was genuinely impressive watching the different views pivot around and the different preferences swing into action. It was a really, really good example of a Windows Phone Metro UI application. It's certainly worth just looking at the demo just for that.
You know, if we weren't in the middle of the Excel Centre and I had time to go back to the other podcast, I'm sure there's an old one where Steve went right up against Metro UI. I meant, terrible, it's horrible, look at that, you can't see anything. Rather like David last week. But we're not going to drop that in now, are we, Rafe?
No, because it comes back to the if you try it, and that's the kind of key thing that Nokia have got to do. And we will talk about this in the future podcast, because there's some really interesting stuff coming up. But I kind of want to round up this Nokia Windows Phone experience thing. There's actually one more thing that's worth mentioning, and this is with regard to music on the phone in terms of buying it. Now, there's a Nokia Music Store, and you can buy music that way, and that takes advantage of Nokia's existing licensing agreements. And the big thing there is actually Nokia have unparalleled reach in the mobile world. They have music shops and stores in more places than anywhere else in mobile.
Yeah, Riff, quick question for you. Buying music on the Nokia Music Store on Windows Phone, does that mean we'd be free of having to use Zune Desktop?
Yes, I haven't actually looked at the technical details, but I would assume that is the case.
So we're going for a qualified yes there, but we'd like to check.
Yes, we'd like to check. But the reason I mention this is actually the Zune Music Marketplace, or it's rather part of the Marketplace application where you can buy music, is still going to be there. But actually, it doesn't have the same reach as the Nokia Music. So actually, what Nokia are doing by this is actually allowing them to launch in more countries and still have music purchase available. And, you know, for some people, they'll already be familiar with buying from Nokia Music, and they can continue to do so. The Zune Marketplace is still there, and for those with Zune passes, which some people will have, you know, particularly if they've come from another device, that will be an available option as well. I'm a little bit skeptical about having two stores for music on the same device, but it may well work. We'll have to, you know, try it in action.
And it may also vary region by region as well.
It may well vary region by region. I mean, because in some places there will only be the Nokia Music Store, there won't be the Marketplace option. In the UK, for example, you do have the option. So, you know, that music thing, we're going to be looking at detail at all of these kind of experience applications on the site. The one last one that's worth mentioning is actually to do with apps, and there was a lot of discussion about how this is going to work. And Nokia are actually going to have an application that is basically app highlights, where they can pick out their favourite applications. They can also promote their own applications. And this apps highlight is kind of going to be a separate tile, but again, adds the ability for the Nokia Windows Phone experience. And what it will actually, you'll see the listing for the application, but then it will still drop you into marketplace where you'll be able to buy those applications. So it's kind of like a front end. So we've talked all about, you know, these customizations on the software. We started with the hardware. I think the interesting question we then have to answer is, have Nokia done enough in terms of customization? And I'll answer it myself first, but then get the rest of the team to sort of chime in. I'm actually surprised they've been able to do as much as they have in the time available, but it's not enough yet. They need to keep the pace going. And the nice thing about the software is they could, you know, deliver it even as the devices roll out. And we've already heard that that's going to happen on some of the music stuff. It's going to happen with the ESPN app, because that's not going to be shipping in the first retail units. So there is more work to be done. And I think undoubtedly, you know, Maps is version one, and we've got more to come. So I do feel that the Nokia Windows Phone experience isn't really complete yet, but they have made a good, you know, first attempt. You know, the version one Nokia Windows Phone experience gets a qualified thumbs up from me. I mean, David, would you agree with that?
Broadly, yes. I think being as like a kind of power user enthusiast, I think the hardware has made more of an impact on me than the software and services. I think they have done very well to get those devices together, and I think they have made desirable devices, which I think, as a wise person was saying to me, people like fashion. However, I do think that particularly the navigation and the music services will probably get pushed well when people are in retail shops and getting advice from shop clerks, because they did actually go on to say that they are going on a massive marketing educational campaign. So those will be pushed hard.
Mm-hmm. And we are going to talk about that in the podcast, because that's kind of the third element of the strategy. Devices and customization aren't enough. You then need to push it through the retail channels, and we do have more detail on that to come.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, when you're in the store and you're told, well, I want to buy a Windows Phone device, then you're, well, here's Windows Phone Burr, but that allows you to download free radio mixes as well. Ooh. You know, that might be enough when somebody gets attractive. To me, you know, the question of have Nokia done enough, it's a twofold answer. They've not done enough, I think, for the power users. But there again, nobody could. You know, the people are going, I want my N9. Why haven't you got removable media on there? Why haven't you got USB on the go? Why can't I change over my micro SD card? I wanted the N8 camera unit, not the N9 camera unit. Those people will never be satisfied, and Nokia have not done enough to address that. I don't think that the story of that this is as much as we could do in 6 months came over in the keynote. But the point is, they're not going for that market. They are going for a much broader base with much more of the bell curve above them. And for those people, they're going to walk in, they're going to feel it, they're going to see it, they're going to swipe around through applications. And they have done enough here. I think the best retail experience anybody's going to get is they're going to get a Windows Phone demonstrated to them. The seller is going to say, right, just log into Facebook for me. And then everything suddenly appears, it syncs up, you start moving through and everything. And then all the sales agent has to do is, well, do you just want to take that unit away with you now it's all set up? Boom.
Yeah, and I think that's right. So the answer to that question is, they've done enough for now, mm-hmm. because they've done as much as they could. But there is a lot more work to do, and we'll be, you know, exploring that and listening about it and hearing about it in the time to come.
And of course, there is a lot more work for Microsoft to do. We've been ranting at various points about some of the deficiencies in the Windows Phone platform. Much as Microsoft have made some pretty huge strides, there's also quite a bit left to do. So there's work to do on all fronts, I think.
And also, the other Windows Phone manufacturers are going to have to decide whether they want to step up to the plate or not.
Indeed, they are. I mean, HTC, Samsung and LG, you know, Nokia's coming in, and it's a more competitive space now, and that can only be good for the consumers. And yes, you know, Microsoft has stuff left to do. I mean, if you just look at the raw functionality, particularly, you know, we refer to it in the hardware with things like FM transmitters or other bits and pieces, and the same applies in the software. There are missing things. I do think that most of the stuff there is kind of the 80-20 rule, and we've still got this power user thing that we've talked about in the past. And I think that particularly applies to Symbian users coming across. You know, they have to make...
It's every single minute of lost battery power, every single drop byte.
They're going to have a very difficult decision to make, and we'll talk more about that in future podcasts, future content, because we're aware we've got a big listenership who are interested in that particular aspect. But, you know, the kind of the report card from Nokia World is actually they've made enormously impressive strides in the time that they've had available.
Would a B plus be fair?
Yes, I think I would give them an A simply because
You're English and everybody gets an A.
Because everyone gets an A. And honestly, if you said to me on February 12th, this is how far they'd got, I'd have been terribly impressed. I mean, kind of the curse of these things is that people always expect you to do more than you actually have, especially when information starts coming out, you know, in the time before the announcement actually gets made. But if you had this conversation back on February the 12th, that Nokia is going to announce two devices, they're going to have three or four major bits of customization, I think most people would have gone, yeah, I'm sorry.
And they'll have signed up Sesame Street.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Ah. That's it. Game over. Stopping now. Right then, for a little introduction, we've managed to hit the time limit. Day two of Nokia World will continue in the podcast tomorrow. Because right now, does everybody have their Adventurer Explorer badges ready?
Oh, yes, I have my machete.
Machete, there we go. So Steve is going to pair up with Danny Trejo and head off to the floor and find his personal highlights. Rafe, who are you going to pair up with?
I don't know, but I'm going to go and investigate the developer stuff.
So there we go. Think of a famous developer. Babbage, you can pair up with Charles Babbage. David?
And while I don my Trilbian whip, I'm going to go into the Future Lounge and see what's coming in the next few years.
And I am just going to find some interesting voices. We will bring them to you on the next Insight podcast. All your comments are welcome back on this one, allaboutsimio.com and allaboutwindowsphone.com. Thank you very much for listening. Guys, let's brave the show floor.
Da-da.
Bye for now.